Hello everyone, welcome to our podcast. Today we'll be discussing Charles Manson.
Charles Manson was born on November 12, 1934.
His mom once sold him for a pitcher of beer, but his uncle found out and got him back.
Blaine, what would you do if your mom sold you for a pitcher of beer?
I'd be pretty upset, honestly.
Yeah, he had a hard life. One year, he didn't receive any Christmas presents, besides a hairbrush, and his grandma said that, like, if he brushed his hair, he would be able to fly, but it didn't work. And then when everybody at school showed off their toys, he thought they were mocking him, so he took a bunch of them and, like, burned them.
Really?
Yeah, that actually happened.
All right, what a guy.
Yeah.
In 1947, he was 12 at the time, I'm pretty sure. He was sent to Jabal School for Boys in Terre Haute, Indiana, for stealing. And the next 20 years, he is in and out of reform schools.
Yeah. He escaped once from the school, and, like, he ended up going back to his mom's place. But, like, she said, like, nope, go back. I don't want you. That, it's kind of sad. Like, his whole life is just, like, sad. His whole childhood.
It's a very unfortunate existence.
Very.
He escaped twice from school due to sexual assault and abuse.
So, yep. I never go to reform schools. You know.
That sounds pretty bad.
Honestly.
Alright, I might behave more now.
Probably not. At 13, he started a series of robberies to save up enough money to rent a room, like, to, like, get out of this school, but he couldn't do it.
He also had a history of manipulation, and at 16, he was tested in prison, and his scores showed that he had an IQ of 109. But he could barely read or write, and the psychiatrist said that it was the trauma of the lack of parental love.
Do you believe that?
I think he was just a bad apple.
A very bad apple. They're, like...
Although, he does have some pretty unfortunate stories from his childhood, like the beer pitcher. I can understand.
I don't think, like, it was because of his parents that he couldn't read. Like, I think it was because, like, he, like... kind of, like, was mentally, like, unfit to learn.
Yeah, I don't think he was too concerned with reading in the first place. I
feel like he didn't care.
He was more concerned with the whole burning toys and stealing.
Yeah, basically.
Robbery.
Oh, well, though, he was released from prison in 1967, but he didn't want to leave. He said, oh, no, I can't go out there. I knew that I couldn't adjust to that world, not after all my life had been spent locked up and where my mind was free. When Charles Manson was older, he started a cult, and it grew to be about 1,000 followers strong.
The Manson family cult shared a passion for an unconventional lifestyle and had a habitual use of hallucinogenic drugs such as LSD and mushrooms.
That's also, like, how he controlled them to do things, too. Like, he would be like, if you do this for me, I'll, like, give you more mushrooms and LSD.
God.
That's actually what he did. The family cult eventually moved to San Francisco to a ranch in San Fernando Valley.
Important members of the cult included Charles Tex Watson, Bobby Beausoleil, Mary Bruner, Susan Atkins, Linda Kasabian, Patricia Krenwinkle, Leslie Van Houten, and Steve Grogan.
The victims include Bernard Crowe, Barbara Hoyt, Gary Hinman, Sharon Tate, Abigail Folger, Wojciech Frykowski, Jason Sebring, Leno LaBianca, and Rosemary LaBianca. They were married. So the first time the Manson family cult ever, like, committed a crime, it was when Charles Tex Watson scammed Bernard Crowe for money for Manson, but Crowe found out about it and he threatened to expose them. So due to that fact, and the fact that Manson was under the false pretense that Crowe belonged to the Black Panthers, Manson shot him, but Manson didn't kill Crowe. So Manson wanted to escape to a ranch in order to get away from Crowe so he won't get arrested, you know. And one of his friends, Hinman, recently inherited a large sum of money, so Manson ordered Beausoleil, Bruner, and Atkins to persuade him to give them the money. arrests, but Hinman was uncooperative, so they held him hostage for a couple days, and Manson came and slashed his ear with a sword. Like, a medieval sword.
Alright.
Yep, yeah, Game of Thrones stuff, you know? And Busileo stabbed him twice, and he ended up getting arrested. Busileo was arrested, but, like, that doesn't make much sense since they all did it. But he was the one caught in the bloody clothes of Hinman. I guess he wore them in the clothes, like, in his car. Which is kind of gross. I don't know why.
What for, man?
Well, they were also on a lot of drugs. So, that's like, true. I mean, I get it. I get it. And also the fact that he hid the murder weapon, the knife, in the trunk tire. So, there's that,
oh,
too.
Oh, that's stupid.
And the next crime they committed?
August 9th, 1969, Charles Manson ordered Watson, Atkins, Kasabian, and Krenwinkel to kill everybody of this residence as brutally as they could. This was the former house of Melker, who rejected Manson's music. The group killed Tate, Folger, Frykowski, and Sebring. Watson entered the residence by cutting the screen of a window and opened the front door. For Atkins and Krenwinkel. Kasabian was at the end of the driveway to keep watch. Watson and the group entered the residence and found Tate, Folger, Frykowski, and Sebring. Tate and Sebring were tied together by their necks, and Folger was taken into a nearby bedroom. Sebring was shot and stabbed 7 times. My God. Like, 7 each? Like, shot 7 times and stabbed 7 times? Or just, like, shot once and stabbed 7?
I think it's, like, all together. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Either way, very brutal. They're right on point with...
Not as much as a sword, though.
Yeah.
I mean, not quite that level, but...
They're hitting the target that they're aiming for pretty well and being brutal. I'll give them that.
Definitely.
Frykowski was bound by a towel but managed to free himself, and after doing so became involved in a physical altercation with Atkins, resulting in her stabbing him in the legs. Frykowski continued to flee, but Watson struck him with the gun multiple times over the head. Shot and stabbed him multiple times. My God. The gun grip broke off as a result of Watson striking Frykowski over the head. That's
pretty hard.
A lot of blows to the head with a gun.
I'm surprised if he has a head left. I mean,
yeah. Is he alive still?
I don't think so.
Alright, well, makes sense. Folger fled the room, and she was taken to and then was chased by Krenwinkel. Folger was stabbed by Krenwinkel and eventually stabbed by Watson as well. Folger was stabbed a total of 28 times by both Krenwinkel and Watson. Meanwhile, Frykowski was struggling across the lawn when Watson came to stab him again. Frykowski was stabbed a total of 51 times. Oh my God.
The first, like, 50 times.
I know, like,
they needed the other.
I feel like if I were to, if I were to stab someone, I feel like my arm would get tired after, like, 20.
I feel like I wouldn't be stabbing them for, like, that long.
Yeah, I would, like, once or twice.
I know, like, but they had to make sure that he was, like, deader than dead.
I guess 51 will guarantee that.
Mm-hmm.
Tate was witnessing the horrible crimes and pleaded with Atkins for mercy, but was rejected and was stabbed a total of 16 times. That's more reasonable than 51, but still, it's pretty painful. Tate's unborn child did not survive the incident. Alright, well, that's messed up.
That's pretty sad, I'm not gonna lie.
Dang.
Their next crime was on August 10th, 1969, so the very next day. Literally, they didn't take a breath.
It was
the next
time.
Day. They just went straight into it.
Well, that was some good stabbing. On to the next one, shall we?
Oh my gosh. But Leslie Van Houten, Steve Grogan, Susan Atkins, Linda Kasabian, Patricia Krenwinkel, and Charles Watson was in the whole crime. But this time, Manson joined, and he felt like there wasn't enough panic between the victims. Like, you would think there's enough panic when you stab someone 51 times.
I don't think you guys are scared enough of us chasing you with knives and stabbing everyone.
I mean, like, I guess so. They drove around looking for a victim. Bob, Bianca, and Rosemary were successful grocery store owners, and Manson attended parties in their neighborhood in prior years. Manson claims that he approached the home alone and returned later to bring Watson along. When Manson and Watson were in the residence, they tied up LaBianca couple with a lamp cord and with pillowcases covering their heads. Manson reassured the couple that they would not be hurt and that they were being robbed. They ended up dead. So, all the cash was collected, and then the bounded Rosemary was returned to her room. Soon after, Van Houten and Krenwinkel entered the premises with instructions from Manson to kill the couple. Manson, like, so much for not being hurt.
Yeah, like, he won't do anything. Don't worry.
Don't worry. I'm just gonna send some people in to kill you nicely.
That's like when you do that trick on someone with the penny in the water bottle, and they're like, look, you can see it at the bottom of the water bottle.
And then you get splashed. Oh, goodness. But Manson left the residence and instructed Van Houten and Krenwinkel. In the bedroom, Rosemary began to swing the lamp, still attached to the cord wrapped around her neck. Dude, she doing some acrobatics. She, like, the cord was around her neck, and the lamp was just swinging because she was moving. That's like a helicopter. What the
heck? She's trying to fly away.
Oh, my gosh. Van Houten and Krenwinkel yelled for Watson aid and stabbed Rosemary multiple times. Watson gave the knife to Van Houten, and then she continued to stab Rosemary. Rosemary was stabbed a total of 41 times by Watson, Van Houten, and Krenwinkel. Watson returned to the living room and continued to stab and kill Leno.
He was like, give me a minute. I got something to deal with. All right, man. All right. Hey, like, what's up? I'm back,
he
man.
Just hit the pause button on the stabbing. He hit the pause, killed Rosemary, and just came back.
You gotta take a break, man. You're gonna get winded.
Oh, my gosh.
Sometimes you gotta change it up.
Krenwinkel carved the word war into Leno's stomach and stabbed Leno multiple times and left a carving fork sticking out from his stomach and left a knife in Leno's throat. So not only was he, like, stabbed a lot, he had something written
engraved.
In his... Yeah. That's, like, that's not coming out.
That's painful.
Very painful. But after that, Leno was stabbed a total of 26 times. On the walls of the living room, and like they wrote, death to pigs and rise. And oh, Leno's blood. On the refrigerator door, they misspelled helter skelter. And like, you would at least expect them to like spell correctly if they're going to commit a murder. But also, as I said earlier, they were on a lot of drugs.
They probably...
So, like...
They probably wrote it, and then it just looked like lines to them afterwards anyways.
They probably did. There they go.
Well, I didn't really care.
Oh, well, this is close enough. Frank Struthers, Rosemary's son from a prior marriage, returned from a campaign trip and found it suspicious that the shades were drawn. He also found it suspicious that Leno's speedboat was still parked in the driveway. Struthers called his sister to alert her, and she came with her boyfriend, Joe Drogan. Drogan and Struthers entered the home through the side door and found Leno's body. LAPD was alerted.
Dang.
It's pretty sad.
The investigation of these murders occurred July 25th, 1969, when a housekeeper reported the Tate murder the day after, and that was under the jurisdiction of the LAPD. So was the LaBianca murder. But police said that they were unrelated.
Yeah, people just stabbed multiple times in different locations.
51 times and 26 times, like, they're not
related
the same.
At all. Not the same number.
Nah.
Not worried about
no,
it.
No, not at all.
Sometimes people aren't smart. Charles Manson also had a little bit of a music career. In 1967 and 1968, he met Gary Hinman, who was a music teacher, and he introduced Manson to Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys. Wilson showed him to Terry Melcher, who was a producer, and she showed some interest in him, but eventually turned him down. That's kind of like how Hitler almost went to art school.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You guys should just let people into these places sometimes. Like, if they give you a certain vibe, you're not sure about them,
like,
just let them in so they don't go crazy, because you got turned down.
Yeah, because especially with his background, like...
His future could have been a lot different, you know? He could have been like a...
superstar, like,
yeah,
literally.
Yeah, he could have been a rock star, he could have.
The Beatles 2.0.
Literally. Even though they did have a song, that Helter Skelter song, they're kind of linked a little bit,
kind
maybe.
Of. I believe that.
It's just the buzz about him. They were probably like, oh my god.
Oh my god.
It's weird, though, that he knew the Beach Boys. That's crazy. But, here we go. Manson finally... gets in trouble. The trial, his prosecutor was Vincent Bugliosi, and his defense attorney was Irving Kanarek.
He was found guilty, clearly. I really don't know how you wouldn't be found guilty. But then, in jail, Charles Manson died 2 years ago, November 19th, 2017, of natural causes at Corcoran State Prison in California.
So sad. And he was in there since 1971.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, he got his wish. He's back in jail.
He did like jail. He did.
So don't worry.
He was a very interesting guy. I feel like he had some potential, but he decided...
Overall, he was just too messed up.
Yeah, he just decided to be a murderer instead of, like, keep trying with music.
And I definitely think it's, like, part of the drugs. Like...
For sure. Like, For sure. You don't do those and be a normal person.
So here with us today, we have Paul Reese. Paul, do you think Charles Manson was born a bad guy or was made into a bad guy?
I feel like all people are born decent, unless they have, of course, like a mental issue or something. But most of people's actions are determined on the family they were grown up with or like the situations they've had to go through.
Which makes sense because Charles Manson's childhood was poopy and not very good.
Well, that's not cool.
Paul, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Would you be in the Manson family cult?
Well, that's a tough question because I'm not very educated on the cult that they were in.
Well, they did a lot of acid and mushrooms and then proceeded to kill people.
Probably not because it's, I mean, I like to stay on the right path, and I feel like that would guide me off the path that I'm trying
to go. Yeah, I feel like that would probably wind up with you in jail or dead.
Yeah, wouldn't be the first.
Our sources are crimemuseum.org and listverse.com. But overall, he was a pretty cool, interesting person. Yeah. Well, thank you for listening.
Adios.
Amigos.
Pendejos.
I don't know what that means. Bye-bye. Thank you.